97 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my buddy Trey Bennett. He's been doing this in Mobile and Baldwin County for 11 years. He has to be one better. So FM Talk 106.5, it's our 10th year, right? I've been around a decade. Trey, one better. He's been doing it. Listen, getting rid of junk in commercial properties, residential properties, Mobile, Baldwin counties. It's stuff up in your attic, up the creaky attic ladder stair thing, or maybe something like a above ground pool in the backyard or somewhere in between. Maybe you got a storage unit you pay on every month, but you don't even know what you got in there. Save the money. Or maybe get that room, that guest room that used to be a guest room, now that's piled full of boxes. Get that junk out of there. Open up some space for the holidays so people can come in. Uncle Burrow and Aunt Elda can come sleep in the guest room and use it, you know, and they'll take care of the kids and you and the wife can go out to dinner. I'm projecting here. Do this by getting started with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Set an appointment time. They do that. An actual day and an actual time, and that's when they show up. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done quickly. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, y'all say hello to our buddy John Sharp from AL.com. And John, who is, I didn't even go check. You were nipping at my heels in the college pick'em last week, and you started talking some trash with me. How you doing this week?
You know what? I don't know. I did not check. And yes, last week I was nipping at your heels. Literally, it was right behind you. Of all the, I don't know how many people we got involved in this thing, I was right behind you. I was like, wait a minute, I recognize that name. So I don't know how last week materialized. Probably not. I have not checked. I do know that the team that I root for, I picked, and they won, and I'm sure other people picked the other team. So I did feel good about that one.
Yeah, and your team, of course. You're talking about Iowa this weekend.
The Iowa Hawkeyes, yeah. They beat Minnesota and knocked off an undefeated. So what are we down to? 3 undefeateds left. So it's we'll see. Does Penn State beat Ohio State this weekend? Ohio State looks like they're blowing through everyone. Penn State's teetering a little bit, but this is a big game, and I think that'll be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, and before we get, John, to the Mobile City Council news, are they doing the Kinnick Wave at Iowa Stadium this year still? And what's that all about again?
Yeah, it's at the end of the first quarter. It's become a really, heartwarming tradition. It kind of started, I think it was about a year or so ago. And they have a children's hospital that overlooks the stadium. It was built, it was opened just a couple years ago. And what occurs is at the end of the first quarter, everybody turns around and waves at the children's hospital. And, of course, everybody staying at the hospital turns around and waves back. It's a pretty emotional thing. ESPN College Game Day has done a very, emotional feature on it. Tom Rinaldi did one, outstanding. If you ever get a chance, look it up on YouTube. If you have a dry eye after that one, it's pretty tough.
Now, I love it. And, I love college football traditions, and a lot of them are just, like, goofy things and stuff, we do. But that one is – I told you when it first came up. I said, man, hats off. That's super special. All right.
That is. It's pretty powerful.
And we can probably put a link of that up, and people can catch it over on Twitter. I want to talk about today's Mobile City Council meeting. 10:30 they get started?
Yeah, they have the pre-meeting. Pre-conference is at 9. But the real deal today is at 10:30. That's the one everybody wants to be tuned into.
Okay. Now, we are at a pretty pivotal time here on timeline, if I understand this correctly, because they've tabled it a couple times. But if the city council votes to allow those 13,000 people the right of referendum to vote to get themselves in, this all has to be done by the end of the year.
That's correct. That's why today is a very pivotal moment because we'll start running into the holidays next week. So, yeah, the council clearly has indicated, at least the council president has to me, has clearly indicated that today is the day to vote on whether or not to allow this special election.
Now, okay, and to get that done, to be under the, under the wire for the 2020 census, right? And that's part of this discussion. I mean, there's a lot of parts of this discussion, but part of it, I know the mayor and his administration are pushing is this gets Mobile into a position to be the second biggest city in Alabama. And with that, they say comes grant money, good things.
Yes, correct. You're correct by that. The mayor's administration wants to push the population above 200,000, which triggers all sorts of eligibility, a different type of bracket, I suppose, for public safety grant eligibility, which they're really touting right now, and the potential to to hire more police officers for the city of Mobile. That's one of the big things behind that. There's various other grants through the federal government, through the U.S. Department of Justice, in which Mobile would be, more well-positioned to take advantage of if Mobile's population goes above 200,000.
All right. So with that being said, you had last week, I think, you know, we're all talking about, it seemed to me, I was watching City Council meeting, I think, on Thursday, and it seemed like it was one of those 80s TV shows where at the end of the season or recap or the end of the series, they would find some, you know, some device, a snowstorm would hit her or something, and they'd all be in one room or one building, and then characters from past shows would come back. Felt that way last week at the City Council when Steve Nodine, former city councilor, county commissioner, he showed up. He was a longtime anti-annexation person. He showed up in support, and former city councilor, mayor, and state rep, Sam Jones, showed up, who was a strong advocate and pusher for annexation when he was mayor, showed up to kind of oppose annexation.
You're correct by that, and we might have a little bit of a repeat again today of the characters from the past showing back up. Former Mayor Sam Jones, current State Representative Sam Jones, is going to be at the council meeting at 10:30, and we'll be standing up giving a presentation. Usually the council keeps these presentations at 5 minutes. We'll see if that is the case or not, but Mr. Jones, Representative Jones, has laid out his viewpoints in a opinion piece that's up on our website right now, and has stated his concerns about this current plan as it's being proposed. And he, kind of offers several reasons behind that. One of them, which he says he doesn't believe there's enough information that's been provided, and he's not too sure about, whether or not, being eligible for better grants is a reason enough to do this annexation.
No, but what would be the negative, right? I mean, if you say this is not enough to do it, what would be the negative? I mean, you quote former Mayor and Rep. Sam Jones saying this is being rushed through based on, quote, alternative facts, end quote. What's inaccurate here?
Well, one of his big concerns is whether or not we've gotten a true picture on how much the cost of annexing these properties would be. I mean, right now the concern is, whether the statement is that, well, we're adding more population. The numbers look good from a grant perspective, but what would be the cost side of things of increasing services out to 13,000 people? And that's one of the complaints there that he has stated, and other council members have stated as well. Councilman Richardson and Councilman C.J. Small have both, said that, what will we lose within our existing city if, we're spreading our resources out to another area of the city? That's one of the concerns they said. Their argument is, well, there's other areas of the city that obviously need care right now, parks, streets, sidewalks that we aren't addressing, and yet we're going to bring these other areas into the city. Of course, the argument on the other side is, well, a lot of these areas don't need a lot of the services, the infrastructure needs that, a lot of the other areas, it would not be as costly as we think. But, where Sam Jones is coming from is just, we don't have all that information, plus he feels and others have felt that this is being somewhat rushed through at the last minute, pushing to vote this in before the end of December, and they believe that more time is needed simply to get this kind of information.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll come back from the break. I want to talk more about that because I didn't hear those concerns back on the prior annexations. And at the same time, I've had a couple conversations just as recently as yesterday with Public Safety Director James Barber, who pointed out that the fire and police are already in those areas. It would just mean the emergency ambulance, EMT, for those areas would be additional. And I've talked to enough people in those that represent people in those neighborhoods that are saying that, hey, the infrastructure in those neighborhoods is newer than it is maybe just across the line in the city of Mobile currently. But we'll talk more about that with our buddy John Sharp from AL.com coming right back. This is Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. line in, folks, too. Love to see you in person at the AL1 Republican Congressional Debate at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. That is Thursday, like in 2 days, from 6 to 8. I would suggest if you're getting there, try to get there like 5:30 or so, have a chance to visit for a second before taking your seat. We'll start that debate right after 6 o'clock. Co-moderator Peter Albrecht and I and the five candidates will be there, and hopefully you will, too. Free, but you need a ticket. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that. If you'll go to our Facebook page, our website, the Twitter feed, you'll find a link for the Eventbrite. Now, this is so they know how many people are going to be there. Because they've gotten a lot of people, a lot of demand, adding some extra seats at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. By the way, big thank you to Adam Bourne and the Mobile County Republican Party for all the work they've done on this to make it possible. And I can't wait to see y'all out there on Thursday night. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, talking about what's happening today in Mobile with the Mobile City Council, John Sharp from AL.com has many stories up about this. I put one of the most recent ones up because we're talking about old faces that have a different take, in this case on annexation. Former Mayor Sam Jones, now state rep, who was a big advocate of annexation. Now, John, he has his doubts.
Yeah, that's correct. I thought one of the more interesting comments in my discussion with him yesterday, and I believe he added this in his opinion piece as well, is whether or not we truly have a picture, and we're using demographic data. And this is, of course, the elephant in the room, and I know it's a topic a lot of folks are uncomfortable talking about, but how did the racial demographics of the city change by bringing in 13,000 people in the west side of Mobile? And the largest area is overwhelmingly a white demographic. And talking to former Mayor Jones, he had indicated that, we don't really have an understanding of the gentrification that's occurred in downtown Mobile since 2010. Meaning that some of the public housing developments have closed, and we've seen a revitalization downtown, more newer people living downtown as well as in Midtown as well, and the demographic data that's being used to kind of craft a picture of Mobile is 9 years old, whereas the census overall population numbers are estimates that are given, they come out every year or every other year. Demographics of what we of the pictures of the city is a figure that's kind of aged by now. It's 9 years old. So that was an argument that he made, and obviously downtown is represented by Council President LaVon Manzi, who is, we view as being the swing vote in this whole discussion. And I know LaVon, Councilman Manzi, this is a decision that's weighing on him. He is not an automatic yes. He's not an automatic no on this. So, it's a big decision for him to make as well today.
But the decision is, it is interesting, and sure, we can make our guesses. So we know how the vote will go or something like that. But the city council is not tasked with voting those people into the city or out of the city. They're voting to allow those people to write a referendum.
That's correct. They're allowing a right of a special election that would occur in December. You're correct by that. There is a feeling, though, that unless something happens quickly, that the vote would be almost overwhelmingly yes to be incorporated to the city. Although King's Branch, which is the third corridor, is a little bit of a wild card because back in 2007 they voted against it at the time, and they would be back on the ballot. It's potentially having a opportunity to vote on a special election. It's a smaller area compared to the Schillinger's corridor, which is, we're talking 13,000 people would be annexed into Mobile. The Schillinger's corridor is by far the largest, being about 11,000 people. So, so the King's Branch area, which is closer to the Sims city limits, would be an opportunity for them to vote on as well. And then again, back in 2007, 2008 time frame there, they voted against annexation. So, it'd be interesting to see if how that would materialize this time around if they got a chance to vote.
You talk about the quote you had for alternative facts from Sam Jones there, from Representative Jones. Then show me information to the contrary, because right now what I can work off is the numbers were given from the city, and everything I've been shown from the city is this is a net gain to the coffers, which if you're looking at different parts of the city and you're looking at whether it's public, different public safety services or whatever, it's a net gain. I mean, you're bringing in neighborhoods and you are bringing in retail, but you're bringing in people that eventually will be paying, you know, ad valorem. You're talking about people paying more in sales tax, more in property taxes, all those things. That's more money into the city. And these are, most of them, fairly new neighborhoods, and their infrastructure's newer, people argue, than many neighborhoods that you just mentioned, Midtown, downtown, you know, Parkway, anywhere.
And that's correct. The cost outlays would be less than working in some of the older neighborhoods. But then on the flip side, you hear from, you know, both former Mayor Jones, State Representative Jones, and some of the council members that this campaign style flyer that went out in Councilman Manzi's district and Councilman Small's district has been almost universally criticized as just kind of, you know, bad form. I mean, this rarely, if ever, happens on a council vote where we're forming up a campaign in opposition or for something. And there was a statement on there that said something like, well, it costs you $27 million to provide all this service in the police jurisdiction. And so that's been a number that's been grabbed onto and kind of, it's been, you know, by any kind of opponents to this annexation, saying, well, you know, why are we spending all this money to the unincorporated areas of Mobile? So let's pull the police jurisdiction back. So we got two, you know, conversations going on, annexation and now the police jurisdiction. So, you know, there's more than just today's vote probably on this issue. But, you know, today's vote is highly important. It's to set up this special election or not set up the special election on annexation. That's kind of an issue as well.
John, I mean, we're talking about 70,000 people inside the PJ. Okay, 70,000 people. So if you pull back the entirety, right now EMS is the issue, but if you pull back fire and police from the PJ, then those folks would absolutely have to form, and I would imagine a municipality, but maybe another system, to provide those services for themselves. And I got to think it would be a municipality, which then means that Mobile, for sure on its west side, would be hemmed in, could never grow any further.
You're right. If you start seeing another city theoretically popped up and formed, you're right. It would, and we've seen that with Sims. Sims is annexing all over the place. I mean, we've seen that. I did a story on that not too long ago. It seems to be a strategy that they're looking at, and they're not doing it, overly progressively. I mean, they're offering pockets of unincorporated areas to be part of the city, and then the council votes it in. That's pretty a simple process for a smaller city than Mobile. But you're right. I mean, that fire protection service is highly important for various reasons for folks in that area. So, but although I'm not hearing any rumblings of an area not being annexed in the city of Mobile, breaking off and doing a separate incorporation, that would be a new one. I have not heard that. I mean, of course, there could always be if you talk to James Barber, he's not going to, you know, if there's an emergency situation out in an area that's in 3 miles outside the city, they're not going to ignore it. I mean, that's just simply not a humane thing to do. How that looks going forward, I don't know, though.
All right. John Sharp, AL.com. Today's city council meeting, you said pre-meeting is at 9 something?
Right, the pre-meeting, the council always has a pre-meeting, which discusses its agenda items more in depth, so that's always interesting. I don't know, though, if there'll be, I mean, we've discussed this annexation thing over and over again, so I don't know if that comes up during the 9 o'clock meeting, but at 10:30, definitely the vote, so we're going to have a robust discussion. It'll be on the City of Mobile's website. They screen their meetings live. I'm going to tweet out the highlights as well.
So, we'll be following your tweets, John. As always, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right, John. Thank you.
837 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
So we've got Thanksgiving coming up. Traditionally, the day after Thanksgiving are when all the great Black Friday sales begin, but not at McConnell. You got them started early this year.
No, we've got them going on now. We've got 0% on Yukons. You got up to $11,000 off the Aldo Z71. Just got a truckload of 3/4-ton diesels coming in, that new body style. I don't want to keep harping on it, but it is just one bad truck. On the used car side, we've got cars and trucks from 4,000 to 50,000. So, I mean, we've got them. Check our website out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141. Don't forget, we'll buy your car if you want to get rid of it. Call Gene, Stucky, or I, and give us a VIN in the miles, and we'll give you a figure on it.
All right. It's that easy. Thank you, Louie.
That's easy. Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 838 FM Talk 106.5, and our phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Love to hear from you on this vote today for annexation. Look at a text here from Keith. Our buddy Keith says, this is what kills me sometimes. Why are we always so focused on race? Why can't we just all be Mobilians? I don't tell my kids, hey, you need to get more Hispanic friends, black friends, white friends, and keep the ratio the same. Well said. But if they're paying attention to our politics, they learn racial divides and how we try to separate ourselves into these groups. Am I being difficult? I don't think you are. I think you're being, like me, Keith, optimistic. You know, I go back, people, I think I even had somebody at a federal level say, you're the burqa guy. And I said, yeah, I am the burqa guy. You know, I have a 10-year theory that I would like all elections to be done with people in burqas.
Mm-hmm.
And not even have a name, so you didn't know the sex of the person. They just have, like, number one, number two, number three, number four, and they would tell you what their platforms are and how they're going to fix things, and then you would vote on that person. Then you, if people had the big reveal, oh, it's, you know, it's whatever. It's this sex, this race, if people care about that stuff. But because we're not in that system, we play a game here about race. And Keith, you're right that what is happening right now, even though it'll be phrased differently, it'll be couched differently, the idea is about race. And it's got some members of the council saying no. Councilman Richardson and Councilman Smalls saying no. Council President LaVon Manzi, Council President, is the deciding factor, because this has to be a super majority vote, not to bring people in, to allow the people to write a referendum to vote themselves in the city. So it is up to Council President LaVon Manzi. If he sides with the yes votes, then they have the supermajority. If not, they won't, and the vote won't happen. Now, it's an interesting thing, because if you're thinking by district, okay, say you wanted to protect your district. You're a politician in power. You want to protect the chance that you're going to get reelected. The addition of these people into the city makes no effect on your district. Actually, they come into Councilwoman Best Rich's District 6. Now, the council can then vote to reapportion the districts. The council itself can make that decision if they think, well, Best Rich has too many people, then we all want some of the people. They can do that, and that can be moved. But it's not bringing anybody into your council district. So what is the next part of it? Well, of course, it's mayoral politics,
mm-hmm.
right? And the whole thing is like, oh, it's all these white people, you know, and Keith, I'm with you. I have to shake my head. But it is, I think, 8,000 some odd white people, 3,000 some odd black folks, and some percentage of others. And I'm sorry to the other groups, I don't have the breakdown, because I really don't care. I'm like Keith, I'd like to all just be Mobilians. But with that, they're looking at the mayoral stakes.
Right.
And if people go and show up in this mindset and vote just based on race, they want to protect, if they have a mayoral expectation, that's there. The situation, if you look back in our history, Mobile is a majority-minority city. And Sandy Stimson, a white dude, was elected by a majority-minority city. If you go back to when Sam Jones was elected, Mobile at that point was a majority, it was a majority-white city.
Right.
Okay. At that point, we elected a black mayor. So, I mean, two recent elections should argue that everybody doesn't go out based on their and vote based on their skin color. But this is a hedge going forward on that. And that is something that if you want to disagree with the annexation based on the numbers, and listen, if you can show me that the numbers the mayor, Mayor Stimson's administration are bringing out, and what Public Safety Director Barber showed me yesterday, if those are not true, prove it. That's great, because I want to know truth. If there's truth that those numbers aren't right, then I want to get it. But if they are, and it's a net positive for the city, and the city grows, Why is there a problem with this? Explain to me, other than mayoral politics, what is the problem?
It would be great, and it would have to be a perfect world for race to not be injected into these discussions. But I don't know if race and politics will ever be disassociated. I hate that. I don't know if it's because that's what politics has, it's been a major part of politics for a long,
oh, very, sure.
I'm forever,
not,
really.
Well, I'm not naive. I know it's a thing, but I can also have what I hope. Right, I have my pragmatic, and I realize how the game is played, but I have my idealism, what I would love it to be.
And as far as race is concerned, now, if these people in West Mobile did vote to be annexed into Mobile, it would still be a majority-minority city.
That is correct.
Right now, I think the population breaks down into, like, what, right around 52% African-American,
yeah, I think
40,
51, 52.
High 40s percent white,
46,
and then fill in the rest with every other race that's here in Mobile County and Mobile City.
What if somebody's biracial, by the way? How does that...
That's a good question. I think they might be counted twice.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But it would still, if they were annexed in, it would still be a majority-minority city. Just the percentage of African-Americans in Mobile would go below that 50% mark, and the gap there would actually be shorter between the percentage of white people that live in Mobile and black people that live in Mobile. But still, once you start talking about it, I mean, I feel silly talking about race as much in, as far as this issue goes, but...
It's 2019, but it's still obviously present.
Right, and, you know, we hear talking heads everywhere that say race shouldn't be an issue, but it leads the news, it leads politics, it's in campaigns. I don't know if we'll ever get away from this. It'd be a perfect world if we could.
I wonder if it shows up at a municipal level as a proxy for party, because, you know, there, you don't have Democrats and Republicans and independents running for mayor. You just have people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people feel this need to have some kind of allegiance to a party or a team or a group, and they're going to pick out a group to be a party of. Mayoral elections are pretty neat because you could just decide on people,
right,
not on party, you know. And another part of this too, I want to continue to remind folks, the districts, this does not change district politics. So if you're in a district and you're trying to vote a certain way to defend your chance of getting reelected, it's not district politics, it's mayoral politics. And I just want to point that out, because that's what's happening here. That's the question. And people will argue, too, one of the other arguments is a city should grow up and not out, right? To vertical infrastructure versus out. Okay, let's just, you can wish that, but the housing stock is to the west of the city, the bulk of it. People that live here, I would think for the majority of folks, there are folks living in condos. I think it's cool what they've done downtown with the high rise, and that's good for some folks. But I would say the majority of people that aren't young or older, you know, the condo living and all that stuff is great if you don't have dogs and kids and all
babies,
that stuff.
Yeah.
And all that. And you may be in that situation where that works for you. But for a lot of people, their goal is to be in a house, to have some grass in the yard. Okay. That's not so. Just saying that, oh well, we think it should be growing vertically instead of horizontally as a city, you can think it, but what the market has said, what the market is saying, is that we want yards and, you know, a house and a carport and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A place to put the grill out back.
I mean, I've lived it. I was living in
your example
apartments for years here in Mobile.
And y'all knew you were going to start a family.
Yep. It was time to, you know, start. I wanted a yard. I wanted to have a house because I knew that crying babies and barking dogs would start to wear on everyone else. So I moved out to West Mobile. I'm still in the city limits right now, but
right. That's
where I moved because I thought it was a good place to start, you know, my family life there. And I know I'm not the only one that's been doing that. And,
So for people to say, well, we can't let this happen because we should encourage the city to grow up vertically or increase density versus spreading out. Unless you have some kind of, and if you have some kind of system where you force that, then people will leave the city. That is not what the market wants. There are some people that want it. I'm not saying that there's nobody that wants it, but the majority of folks are looking for that yard and patio and, you know, and a carport and that stuff. All right, I want to take a call before we go to the break here. Damon is in Mobile. Hey, Damon.
Hey, great. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I really think, yes, my problem is with this annexation vote that they have picked and choose which did, you know, neighborhoods outside of West Mobile get to vote on it. I think it should be all or nothing. Everybody in the jurisdiction, 70,000, should be able to vote on where they want to be in the city, all or nothing.
I think that's cool.
And if they say no, you stay. Go ahead.
I think that's cool. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, yeah, instead of trying to break it off and keep it aligned with racial lines, either in or out, you want it or you don't, and then drop it.
That's yeah, just base it on geography, right? Versus, because that's, absolutely. People ask, hey, why is my neighborhood not getting annexed in? And I won't have anybody on the record here saying it, but I've been told this. Certain neighborhoods were left out of this annexation because they're too white, that it would show throw the ratio off so much that it would change the minority-majority level of the city. So those neighborhoods were gerrymandered around because of the number. I hate the idea that we're looking inside people's houses, what their dang skin color is, instead of just looking at Mobilians that want to be part of, or people that want to be Mobilians.
I totally agree. It's stupid that we're still doing that. And even with DNA now, people find out that they're not exactly one thing or the other.
That is,
they have a DNA test. So.
That is true. Y'all get on the... Before we start talking about this, everybody go take an Ancestry.com thing, and then we'll get back to the discussion.
Absolutely.
David, as always, appreciate your call. Coming right back, grab some more phone calls at 343-0106. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thank you, Kane. 854 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Tell you about the folks at the Maids. Maids doing great work. Actually, tomorrow's our day for the Maids to come to the house. It's always a treat, too, because you just walk into a fresh house. Great cleaning at 22 different steps in their cleaning process. And it shows from baseboards to doorknobs to windowsills. The house is spotless. And you can get a free estimate now from the Maids at 344-6626. And this holiday season, the best time to get on board with the Maids. Give yourself the gift of clean and the gift of time. Think about it. You're making more messes in the house right now because you got kids coming and going, family coming and going, getting decorations down, putting decorations up, all that kind of stuff. And at the same time, you have more traffic in your house for friends and family coming by, for just coming by to say hello, you got a Christmas party, you got Thanksgiving dinner, whatever it is, you need a clean house, and the Maids do that for you and give you that time back during the holidays. Enjoy a little extra time with the family. So get the gift of clean and the gift of time when you get a free estimate from the Maids. Phone number 344-6626. The people that work at our house, the Maids, 344-6626. All right, let's go to the phones, and Fred in Mobile is up first. Hey, Fred.
Good morning. I'm on my way to pre-council. And,
oh, that's Fred Wheeler. That's Freddie Wheeler. Hey, Freddie Wheeler.
Yeah. This is like you said earlier, this has turned into about the mayoral race in 2021, and it's not about annexation anymore. So this has been a weird journey because I've got people on one side that are out in the county that says, well, We're not being allowed in. I got people in the city saying we don't want you, and I'm trying to figure out why they even want to do this anymore. So it's kind of gotten really contentious. The thing that bothers me the most about this, though, is the fact that Fred Richardson has made it clear that this is about race, because on his Facebook page, he definitely talks about maintaining, quote-unquote, a diverse population. So you can, if you read between the lines, that's how I read it.
Okay,
so,
but Fred, I would turn around and argue back that the numbers for those obsessed with race, the city of Mobile still stays a majority-minority city. That doesn't change.
That's absolutely, and I would agree with you 100%, but for some reason or other, Fred Richardson don't see it that way. So I don't understand. The thing is the other thing that he said was about he voted for annexation of Darby Creek. Darby Creek was different from what our effort is in that Darby Creek was 100% already committed to joining the city
right
before they even voted. So that was by a button. What's different about this is we're asking for the right to vote to join the city. And that keeps getting lost somehow.
I don't know.
I joined the U.S. Navy to take and preserve those kind of freedoms, and to have it denied to me is just insane.
Fred, I hear you. That's what I keep pointing out. And I appreciate your call, and I'll be watching what y'all are doing down there. But I keep pointing that out. The city council is tasked with voting to allow the 13,000 to vote, not to vote to bring them in. By the way, text here, and Fred, thanks for the call. Text here, unnamed texter, but this is good point. Good point. The city is evaluating annexing the property, not the citizens. The residents of those properties will change over time. Well said, because they're talking about the property. I mean, you don't annex human beings, you annex property and space. Very interesting. Also, I saw this on Twitter a second ago, a quote from former Mayor Sam Jones. Why annexation? First, it's necessary and essential to the future development and growth of the city of Mobile. And secondly, it's the fair thing to do. Now, that's what he was saying back when he was a proponent of annexation. What about now?